And we will go back to case number 8, United States against Trenise Blaylock.
Morning. May it please the court, counsel. This is a case where not only is there a Booker issue, but also the sentencing guidelines were erroneously computed. The defendant here pled guilty, admitted facts. There was a plea agreement and a plea colloquy. So the only issue, and it was argued that was argued below at sentencing, was whether sentencing guidelines section 3B1.1A applied. That is, whether this defendant should get 4 points for leader or organizer of a criminal activity that involved five or more people. And Ms. Blaylock, there's no evidence that Ms. Blaylock exercised any control over the fifth person.
Now, let's separate two issues out because it could be important. One issue is just, were there five or more people involved in this? And the second issue is, over whom did Ms. Blaylock exercise control? Because if you thought at the first stage that there were, in fact, more than five or more people, these other three that the government's talking about in their brief, then we would have to reach the question whether it's legally significant whether Ms. Blaylock exercised control over everyone or some, and whether control is just one factor of many factors.
Well, the government brought up two people, Jermaine and Beverly Shern, and there was no evidence that they were actually participants. There was no such finding made by the court. So I think those two we can just set aside right away. The question is whether Tereko Shern was a participant in the criminal activity. He was a participant in relevant conduct, but relevant conduct as to two co-defendants, Omar Nellums and Waylon Shern.
Narrow it that significantly, since getaway for members of the conspiracy presumably helps everybody in the conspiracy?
Well, there were two people who had to be hidden and had to be taken away.
Members of the conspiracy needed a little extra help getting away. But why isn't that relevant conduct for the full conspiracy?
Because the other two participants didn't need any help.
No, but it was reasonably foreseeable to them that their colleagues would need help, right? And getting everyone away is good. I mean, conspiracy members don't want two of them arrested so that they then perhaps talk to the police.
Well, that's true, but there was no... Because the other two were not seen, they didn't need to hide. Therefore, they could have just sat out there right in front of the bank and nobody... Well, I don't know about in front of the bank, but in front of the house where they had gone to. They could have stood in the front yard and they would not have been arrested.
Right, but what if the police had recognized... Shern and Nellums and had arrested them, then that puts at risk the whole rest of the conspiracy. So I'm just saying that the conspiracy as a whole has an interest in everyone getting away. So I'm not so sure that measures taken to secure the getaway of two of the members are not relevant to the other three or X number, the other members.
Well, it's relevant to some extent, but that's pretty far removed considering what he did and what he was charged with and the facts that came out, which is that he was an accessory after the fact, and what he was trying to do was hinder the investigation or hinder and protect those two members.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the other two could have just stood there. And so as to them, he was not hindering the investigation or detection in any way.
What about the legal issue, though? If we thought that he was involved enough to say that there are five participants in this overall conspiracy, then there's the question on which this court has actually said control is only one factor. It's not you don't have to actually have a finding of specific individual direct control without any intermediary between the leader organizer and each of the others.
But this was not even foreseeable. I mean, this person's participation or the participation of any person was not even foreseeable to Ms. Blaylock. The actual conspiracy was at an end at the time that Tereko Shern got involved, and she had no direction directly, indirectly, any way, shape, or form of this other person. She didn't know him. She did not know that he had been called to the scene. She did get into his car. That was the extent of it.
But the district court found as a fact that the conspiracy actually had not come to an end at the moment that you are, at the moment they get to the apartment, which I guess is when you're saying it came to an end. Isn't that a fact finding to which we owe some deference?
The fact finding is whether the offense was over.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is because they didn't need any further assistance, because two of the members didn't need any further assistance to get away, as the conspiracy, I mean, the robbery was done. I mean, I don't think there's any question of that.
Well, I'm saying, I understand that this is your position, but I'm trying to suggest, at least as I read Judge Clavert's remarks, it looks to me like he doesn't agree with you. Like, he thinks that the conspiracy as a whole and virtually, you know, all for one and one for all, it wasn't really over until everyone was
That's correct.
Away.
His findings were that the getaway continued
right.
After the four of them left the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That was his finding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the other issue, there wasn't even a finding that she was directing Tarico Shern in any way. The only finding that the judge made was that she engaged his services by getting into the car. And that's not exactly a factual finding. That's a question of whether or not that's sufficient for her to be a leader or organizer of five people, including herself. And the cases that are cited both by the government and in the appellant's briefs do not suggest that at all. There has to be more control than simply controlling a conspiracy which ended except for some after the fact. I mean, he pled guilty to accessory after the fact. So, I mean, at some point there's a recognition that it was after the fact, even though that's still relevant conduct.
Well, your position, you have to have control over all the people that are involved.
Correct, right? And that's what the cases
are. Well, there are a lot of cases that don't agree with that, of course.
Well, I have the cases cited by the government give less than 4 points. So where there's less than control of everyone.
Okay, that's
Thank
fine. You.
You
can save the rest for rebuttal. Mr. Ingraham.
May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Stephen Ingram. I'm an Assistant United States Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. I'd like to respectfully request that this Court affirm the District Court's finding that Ms. Blaylock ought to receive a 4-level increase for aggravating role in the offense. I'd also like to ask that the Court order a limited Booker remand to the District Court to see whether the District Court would have imposed the same sentence had the sentencing guidelines been advisory at the time that this sentence was imposed. Your Honors, as the discussion has just shown, the District Court did indeed find that there were, the words that the District Court used were at least five participants in this conspiracy, and further, that there was a nexus between Ms. Blaylock and the fifth person, because she did, in the District Court's words, engage the fifth person as her ride home, which, as the District Court further found in discussion during the sentencing hearing with Ms. Blaylock's lawyer, that was part of the robbery, to get home safely so that everybody would get home. So
when you say there was a nexus, does that mean there was control, or do you need to have control, or what?
No, the cases, Your Honor, I believe are clear that control is one factor. It's one factor that this Court can and ought to consider in deciding this issue, but it's not dispositive. I think if Ms. It would have been, the argument would have been weaker if Ms. Blaylock had not availed herself of that fifth individual's car for the ride home. But the fact.
So are you suggesting that you would not be making this argument if only her companion and the two men who had to hide themselves got in the car and she set forth and walked home?
No, Your Honor. I'd still be making the argument because he was part of the same conspiracy that she clearly directed. I'm just saying that it makes the argument stronger because she availed herself of the services, not just the two fellows that got in the back of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Your Honors, the District Court found several different things. sentencing hearing, he found that, and I think most importantly, a discussion on page 9 of the sentencing transcript, he said, even if she sought no one's assistance to help her, by voluntarily getting into the car and being taken back to her apartment, she engaged someone in getting away. That means if you count the individuals involved, you still get up to at least 5 persons involved in this criminal activity, which would result in the applicability of this enhancement. So that's what the district court found. And I think the only issue for this court is whether the fifth person, who admittedly is somewhat more attenuated to the crime than the other four, if he is so attenuated as to make this enhancement ill applied here. But I think it's not so. The district court found that getaway was part of it. There was a nexus to her, and so I think that the district court properly found, and under the applicable standard of clear error, I think there was no clear error here.
I was going to ask you that. It would be your position this is a clear error standard of review for those findings of the district court?
Yes, Judge.
Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Your Honors, if there are no further questions, the government would rest on its brief. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much. Ms. Belasis.
Government attorney mentioned that control was not dispositive, and that's true, although there is a lot of discussion about control. The evidence actually was that Ms. Blalock did not control the robbery, but that she organized it. So her role in this offense was to organize the actual robbery because she had been a teller at that institution, at the credit union. However, she did not, so she didn't really control Nellums and Schern. She had gotten there, she was the one who caused them to get involved. But once they were in there, in the bank, they were in there by themselves.
Surely she was the leader of this. This was her idea. She was the brains behind it. She drew the map. She did everything.
Well, that's true.
Aside from walking to the bank.
She organized it, yes,
yeah.
But as control over what was going on or having a larger share in the proceeds or any of the other factors, that's not even under discussion. She was not that type of a leader. And so when we're looking at whether she controlled Tereko Schern, I think we should be looking at the sort of thing that she... The role that she did have, which is that of organizer, and there's nothing to indicate that she was organizing him in any way. I would ask, therefore, for a full remand, but if that's not going to happen, then I would ask for a Palladino remand because it does fall under those cases. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And you were appointed by this court?
Yes.
We thank you very much for your service to the court. Thank you. The case will be taken under advisement, and the court will adjourn until tomorrow.